So we are holding on Lamed Dalet Omid Beis, two-thirds of the way down. The Omid line begins Mai. Okay, so we mentioned in the Mishnah, we had in the Mishnah that if a person makes a Mumin a Bechor, where he's not allowed to, not like, for example, where he's trying to heal it, as in the Mishnah before that, Rabbi Eliezer says he's never allowed to eat from that Bechor, you're never allowed to eat that Bechor, even if later on it develops a different Mum. The Chachamim say that once it develops a different Mum, then you can have that one checked and shechted on that basis. So we discussed why Rabbi Eliezer is Mefil over here and Machmer over here and Mefil in a similar case with Taras and then Abban and vice versa. Okay, so Boim min Reb Yirmiyah min Reb Zeirah. Reb Yirmiyah asks Reb Zeirah the following question. Sorim oizin b'bechor, suppose a person slit the ear of the bechor, which is the example that our Mishnah gave of making a mum in it, umnes, and later on this person who himself who did it died. Mahu liknos b'noi achbal. Do we penalize his son after him? That his son, who inherits the animal, is also not going to be allowed to eat it. So Rashi learns that the question specifically is according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you're never allowed to, even if later on it develops a different mum, then the question would be whether then the question would be would that apply even if his son inherits it? Apparently, Rabbi Eliezer said you can never eat it even if it develops another mum. So the question is, would that knas go on his son as well? With that said, though, a number of Meforshim explain, and some of them also explain that Rambam to be saying this way also, that the question is actually according to the Maharit al-Ghazi also mentions, for example, that the question can be according to the Chachamim as well. Fine, we're saying that the question would be, in the Chachamim said once it develops a different mum, then even the person himself who made the original mum is able to shecht it and eat it. So now we're not according to Rabbi Eliezer. We said according to the Chachamim, which is a halacha. The question would be now, suppose that the original person who made the original mum in the ear, for example, died, can his son right away shecht it on that basis, the fact that there's a mum in it, or does he have to wait until another mum develops? Okay, so that's the question. So again, according to Rashi, the question is specifically according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to many others, the question may be according to the Chachamim as well. So let's consider there's a few other cases where we say that if a person does something, then the Chachamim penalize him. So let's look at some of those possibilities. Im Timtza Loimar. Now, you might say as follows, for example, you have a din, Moicher Abdel La'Ovid Kichotin, the person sells his Eved Knani to a Goy, where then the din is that we penalize him and force him to rebuy him back, even if it costs 10 times as much. We learned actually in Poland doesn't literally mean 10 times as much, doesn't mean even more, maybe, whatever. Point is that we said we penalize him and make him do that. So if we say umes, we...
Let me ask you a question. Are we asking our question? You're asking it, Rabban.
Okay, so part of the question would be, so part of the issue, which the Meforshim... So part of the issue that's under discussion over here, which also affects the question, whether the question is according to Rabbi Eliezer or according to Chachamim, is what exactly over here is Daraisa and what is not. To make a Mumin a Bechor, we established before, is an Issa Daraisa. With that said, actually, Tosfos mentioned before, I didn't mention it yesterday, but Tosfos mentioned that maybe nowadays, where there's no Bris Mikdash anyway, and the Bechor is not slated to be a carbon, to be brought as a carbon, maybe it's only also Darabonim. On top of that, you have the question, once the mum was made, what are we saying? Is it an Isser Daraisa to eat it? We mentioned yesterday that Tosfos brings a Sifri that seems to imply that yes, Lo Seichel Kol Te'eva, which is a positive, it refers to that. However, Tosfos says not necessarily, because it might only be an Asmachta. Or maybe the thing Daraisa would only be, for example, according to the Chachamim. That's fine. You have to wait till it develops another mum. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you could never check it. That wouldn't necessarily be included in the Lo Seichel Kol Te'eva. So it might be that we're talking about something here, Daraisa, or it might be we're talking about it here, something Darabonim. Okay. Anyway, so if a person sells his slave to an Eved, Eved Knani, to a Goy, we force him to buy it back, we penalize him, and we force him to do that. And the din is even ummes, even if the original seller died, nevertheless, konsub noyakrub, the din over there is we do penalize the son as well and make him do the same thing, buy back the Eved. But that's different because you could argue the kol yom over yom a maskalim and mitzvahs, because every day that goes by and you don't buy him back, you have a problem. It's an ongoing problem. This Eved is being prevented from doing mitzvahs. It is being prevented from doing mitzvahs. So therefore, you have an obligation every single day, and so therefore it extends to the son also. A different possibility. In Timsalon, the Kibin Malachdib and Moyed Umes. On the other hand, we can talk about, for example, you have a din in Moyed Cotton. Now, we know that there are certain kinds of malacha you're allowed to do in Birg Salamoyed. In general, you're not allowed to do malacha during Chol HaMoed, but there are exceptions. One of the exceptions is called Dabar HaAvod, if you have something where you're going to suffer a financial loss if it's not done during Chol HaMoed. But you have a concept called Kivin Malacha BaMoed. Let's say a person deliberately sets aside the malacha, figuring I'll do it during Chol HaMoed, and then it'll be a Dabar HaAvod, so I'll have an excuse. So we don't allow them to do that. Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, you're not allowed to harvest grapes during Chol HaMoed. It's one of the malachas that's also, because not Dabar HaAvod. So let's say, for example, he could have harvested them before Chol HaMoed, before Yom Tov. But instead he decides, look, you know what, during Chol HaMoed I have free time anyway. I'll wait till then, and then I can claim, hey, it's a Dabar HaAvod. If I don't pick them soon, if I don't harvest them soon, they're going to spoil. We don't allow them to do that. So we don't...
I consider spoiling when they stay on the...
Well, if they stay too long on the vine, yeah, they shrivel or whatever, yeah.
Too long.
Yeah. No, meaning in other words, so he could claim that it's a Dabar HaAvod, that if I leave them much longer, they're going to spoil. But nevertheless, because he deliberately set aside the malacha for Chol HaMoed, we don't allow him to do it. So you have kivin malacha b'moed. So if he deliberately set aside malacha to do during Chol HaMoed, where he's going to claim that it's allowed because of the Dabar HaAvod, and we say the Chachamim penalize him and don't allow him to do that malacha. But the din is, we say over there, umes. We say that if he dies, loy kontzer b'noy. Actually, the Gemara discusses pro and con over there, but whatever. Even if you're going to argue that loy kontzer b'noy acharav, you can argue, which is in fact the halacha, that we don't penalize his son after him. We allow the son to do the malacha if it is a Dabar HaAvod at that point. Fine, that's different. Mishum delay abdali isura, because after all, fine. Why should we penalize the son? He's not the one who did the isur. His father died. He's not the one who failed to do the malacha when he could have done it. Different explanation is also that loy avad isura means that he didn't do an isur d'oraisa, because the details of what malacha is allowed and not allowed on Chol HaMoed is established by the Chacham. So now the question is over here, hachamai. So now in our case of the Bechur, what would be the din? Do we say the day concert abonon, yeah, like a gavro chesed thing, like you said, is it that the penalty is on him, v'hol lester? Well, in that case, he's not here anymore because he died. Or maybe the penalty applies to the mamon, to the bechor, and v'ha'isei, and the bechor still exists, so maybe the issur should exist as well. So that's the question. On the lay, so Rabbi Zeira answers Rabbi Yirmiyah, kini suha. We have a Mishnah in Shavuos that will answer your question. The Mishnah says, so, now you have, we know you're not allowed to do malacha in the field during Shemitah, but there's different kinds of malacha for that purpose. Sada shenisgav sada Shavuos, a field where you picked out the thorns from it during Shemitah. Rashi just says, in other words, we're talking about these loose thorns all over the place, and you pick them off the ground. Tosfos, in fact, says it must be that way, because if they were actually growing over there, if weeds or thorns were growing over there, then it would actually be an Isser D'oraisa. The implication seems to be that we're saying that this particular thing is only an Isser D'rabban. There is a different explanation. The Yoshami brings an explanation that shenisgavta means that you did the first plowing, which is meant to kill any thorns which are there. So fine, it's plowing, which is also d'oraisa. Which only did it during Shemitah, which is not allowed to do, but fine, it's not, it's only mainly in order to kill the weeds, so it's not really preparing the ground for planting yet in that sense. Therefore, tizara l'mesoy shvi'ith, therefore the din is, you're allowed to plant that field after Shemitah. There's no penalizing him, because he didn't do an avodah chashuvah, he didn't do anything of such great importance, but... Right. Well, so if like Rashi's saying that he's picking up loose thorns from the field, what he's doing is in a certain sense he's preparing it, because that way when it comes after Shemitah and he's ready to plow, they won't be in his way. But on the other hand, it's not a major malacha. If you explain that it means the first plowing to get rid of the thorns, okay, but it's not really so much preparing the ground for plowing. You're still going to need to do that. The pasuk says that you're not allowed sheish shanim tizra. This is Farish actually. Yeah, sheish the vashana sheshnas shabbat and yalar. That's Shabbat Hashem. Sod cholay tizra v'cham cholay tizmer. You're not allowed to plant your field or to prune your vineyard. And that's the point. Therefore, so actually you have a concept that the Gemara discusses in Marid Cotton that's similar to Shabbos, where you have Ovis and Tovis. Similarly with Shemitah, you have Ovis and Tovis, where you have the Ovis malacha of planting and the Tovis involving, for example, pruning and whatever. Everything else, basically everything else is only Jirabah. So therefore, here we're not going to penalize him. On the other hand, if you did Nitaiva or Nidaira, which Rashi explains both of those involved fertilizing the field, Nitaiva it involves that you bring wagon loads of manure and spread it all over the field. The church is toast to make the field good, to make it fertile.
Sure.
Yeah. So nitaiva, Rashi explains, means that you brought wagon loads of fertilizer or manure and spread it all over the field. Nidaira means that you set up in the field a deer behemoth. You set up an animal pen over there so that as the animals are walking around in the pen, they defecate, and then and again they end up fertilizing the field. Tosis gives a different explanation of nitaiva, is that it involves plowing twice. So those are choshev avodas. Therefore, loisi zara l'metzoy shviyas. Therefore, we penalize him, and we don't allow him to plant the field in metzoy shviyas. Even if we were going to argue these are not malachas d'oraisa, but nevertheless, they're still these are choshev avodas, and therefore we penalize him. But the omer of Asi, or of Yosi, actually by Rav Chanina, naktinan, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim that hetiva omeis. Suppose he did this nitaiva, and then he died. Bnoi zora, his son will be allowed to plant it the year after Shemitah. So we see that it's on the Gavra, not exactly. So there's Alma, so therefore we see the Didei Konser Abbanon. So we see the Chachamim only penalize him. Livrei Le Konser Abbanon. They didn't penalize his son. So the same thing will apply over here to the Bechor. It's one thing with the Eved Kanani is a special case. It's an ongoing thing. Every day is being prevented from doing mitzvahs, but ordinarily we don't penalize the son after him. Okay, Tosfos points out on the face of it, if we're saying that this Nitaiva or Nidaira are only also Dirabbanan, and on the other hand, we're saying that making a movement of Bechor is an Issur D'oraisa, then what's the proof? Maybe with a Din Dirabbanan we don't penalize the son. Maybe with a Din D'oraisa we do. Tosfos says, on the other hand, true, but on the other hand, we should argue that we should be Machmir and Shviyas more than other mitzvahs. That you have the famous thing in Rashi in this week's parasha, Kama Kosha Avka Shor Shviyas, that you see how harsh is the punishment for somebody who violates even the minor details of Shemitah, that they end up becoming poor, and you have the whole progression in the parasha where they have to sell their. No, but the point is, you see from that how stringent Shemitah is and how careful you should be with it, so therefore we would think maybe the Chachamim would have penalized him, even though it's only the Rabbanan, and we're saying that they don't. So therefore the same thing will apply over here by the Bechor. Omer Abaya, Naktinan, Abaya says, speaking of that, we also have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim. Tine Taharos Umes, suppose a person takes Taharos that belong to somebody else and makes them Tomei. Now he's a Mazik, so therefore he would be obligated to pay. However, Umes, but then he died before the case was brought to Beis Din, or before he paid, whatever. Loi Konsu Bnoi Achro. So Abaya says, we have the Kabbalah that, again, also there we don't penalize his son after him and we don't make the son pay. For example, truma, yeah. So now, for example, yeah, he made it tome. Now, for example, that truma can't be eaten. It can only be burnt. It is a hezek. It is a hezek. On the other hand, it's a hezek shein and nifer. Because there's no visible hezek. There's no visible difference in the food. It's a ruchniastic difference.
By the way, when the shit comes, is it going to be visible? Tire and tome?
No idea. Maybe. Nicholas Boydavaya could be. I don't know. Whatever it is, in our world it's not. So therefore, so my time, and now why is that? Why don't we penalize the son in that case? Because hezek shein and nikar lo shmei hezek, really a hezek shein and nikar, like in this case, where it's not a visible, there's no visible difference between before and after it's tamei, lo shmei hezek, technically it's not even considered a hezek on a d'oraisa level. It's only knosa d'rabbanan, it's only d'rabbanan that we penalize him. Therefore, the day comes to d'rabbanan, therefore the chachamim only penalize him. And therefore the Chachamim don't penalize his son, like in the case of the Bechor and like in the case of Shemitah.
One second, it's coming. So it is a hezek, even if you don't.
That's fine, but a hezek shein and nikar on a d'oraisa level is not considered a hezek. Therefore, that's it. So it's only d'rabbanan that we make. Of course, mid-daraisa, he has a loss, but mid-daraisa, we can't make the other person pay for it. Mid-rabbanan, we can make him pay for it. But if he died, on the daraisa level, you can't do anything, can you? Yeah, I mean, we don't recognize. I'm sorry, you had a loss. You'd have the same loss if accident, you know, if a mouse was wandering around there and died right on top of the truma. But you can't, you don't have anybody to collect from in that case. You don't have anybody to collect from in this case either. Okay. There is actually an interesting machloikas in Shulchan Aruch between the Sneh and the Shach. What happens if the case was brought to Beis Din and Beis Din decided the guy is higher to pay and then he died? Do we then make the son pay or do we not? The Sneh says, if I remember correctly, that we don't require him to, and the Shach says we do. Okay, but here we're talking about where it didn't even come to Beis Din yet. Okay. Fine. Okay. Well, so that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that if a person made a mumin of Bechor, then he himself is not allowed to eat it until another mum develops. However, if he dies, then his son is allowed to eat it. Okay. Mishnah says, speaking of of a mum that was made in a bechor. Maisa bezachar shal rechelim zaken. It happened once with a male sheep, a ram that is, that was old. And its hair, its wool or whatever is hanging down all over the place because being a bechor, you weren't allowed to shear it, so therefore its hair is just left to grow, and after a while it was very shaggy. A certain caster saw him. Rashi translates caster as mamuna, an official. It was a rank in the Roman administration. Quaestor, it's called in English. Basically, they had various functions in the judiciary and whatever. It was a Roman official. But Omar, so he asked, what's doing with this animal? Why is it so shaggy? Omrulai, so the Jews told him, Bechorhu, it's an animal, it's a Bechor, the Ena Nishchat Ela Imkein Hoya by Mum, and according to our laws, it can only be shechted if there's a Mum in it. Not a pig, because they asked, so they told him, wait, we'll see. So they said, okay. I did see actually one interesting explanation that the Mishnah makes a point of saying, why does it have to mention that it was a caster? Why not just say it was a goy? Because he being an official, they had no choice. They had to answer him truthfully. If it had been some other goy, they could have told him, none of your business. Whatever. I guess so, yeah. A quaestor is not technically that high, but, you know, an official is an official still, you know, like nowadays, you know, it doesn't, you know, even if somebody only belongs to, you know, the community board or the city council or whatever, you know, it's still, you know, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. Anyway, not a pigum, so he took out his spear, but sonam oznoi, and he made a notch in the animal's ear to make a moment. The case was brought to the chachamim. Is this animal mutter now? V'hitiru, and they allowed it to be shechted. Now, what's the point? You have a machlokes. You have two different ways of understanding what's going on over here. Rashi understands that. Look, this goy doesn't know that a mum that he makes in it is going to make it mutter. As far as he knows, we told him if there's a mum in it. So as far as he knows, that means only if a mum spontaneously happens in it. He has no idea that him making a mum in it is going to make it mutter. No, he was told that if there's a mum in it, if there's a mum. So Rashi understands that he presumably would have thought that means only if a mum happens on its own. He would have had no reason to think that his making a mum in it is going to make it mutter. Therefore, it's allowed, implying that if he knew that his action is going to make it mutter, as the conditioner continues, then it would be osur. That's one way of explaining it. On the other hand, another way of explaining it, which Rabbi Gershom explains this way, Hagois Mordechai explains this way, is that what it is the reason why it's mutter, even if the goy knew that that would make it mutter, the reason why it's mutter is because nobody told him to do it. They told him that if it has a mum, it's mutter, and he, on his own, went and made a mum. So this makes a difference in halacha. So if the goy actually knows that what he's doing is going to make it mutter, is it mutter or not? If you didn't tell him, so you actually have you have two different ways of explaining it. You have Rashi's way and you have Rabbeinu Gershom's way. You actually have in Shulchan Aruch it brings only Rashi's way, but it depends whether the goy knows that it's going to make it mutter or not. There is actually a case that's brought in the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch where the Rosh has a tshuva where there was a goyish maid in a Jewish household who was told that because this animal is a bechor, we can't do anything with it unless it develops a mum. She made a mum in it, and the question is whether it's mutter or not. If we say that it's a matter of whether she knows or not that it's going to make a mum, then it means it's going to be also, because she knows now that a mum in it is going to make it mutter. The Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, the Shach and the Taz talk about the case extensively. The Taz says maybe it wouldn't necessarily be some of the Meforishim Bach, for example, talk about that maybe it's only in that case because she's a maidservant in a Jewish household and therefore she's expected to know. You know, we assume that anything she does is for the benefit of the people of the household. Not necessarily would that apply if it was a regular goy. The Taz, like this one, the Taz, on the other hand, disagrees with it. The Taz actually has an interesting explanation, which is the reason why it's mutter in this case is because as far as this caster knows, this is not even considered a mum. You have the famous story in Gittin, in Agata, about the korban over there, in Anizakin. You have the story about the animal for a korban that Barkamsa brought, where he made a mum in the eyelid or in the lip or whatever, where it's not considered a mum for Bnei Noach, but it is considered a mum for us. And the question was, do we bring it as a korban, et cetera, et cetera. So as far as this goy is concerned, the Taz says he may not even, as far as he's concerned, it might not even be a mum. He might have just done it stam out of spite. You're saying you can't have a mum in this animal. I'll go do whatever I want with it. But not that he would have think that it actually makes it mutter. So that's what Taz learns, that that's the point. Because he didn't know that this actually could conceivably make it mutter, that it would be considered a mum according to our laws, therefore that's why we could argue it's mutter.
So in other words, we would have two propositions that needed to be there to make it possible. Number one, that the boy knows that if it has a mum, it's not going to be shechted. And number two, if it's not shechted, it becomes mutter. I mean, if it's shechted, it becomes mutter.
Well, no. I mean, to be exact, what it is, again, you have two different ways of understanding. Is it the key thing is, does the boy know that his action could make it mutter or not? Or is the key thing, did we tell him to do it? Or did we somehow indicate, or did we somehow strongly indicate to him that he should do this? That's the basic argument, which is in this case. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is like the first way. Once the goy knows that his action is going to make it alter, then it doesn't matter whether we told him or not. That's why the Taz says, in our case, the only reason it's mutter is because he had no idea even that it would make it mutter. As far as he knows, it's not even considered a mum. Okay. Fine.
It's just about shifting that he had an idea, not about whether it's mutter or not.
Right. Okay. Fine. What happened? Va'achashitiru. Now, after the Chachamim declared that this bechor is mutter, holach v'tzirin ba'odne bechor as acherim. So this caster went and started doing the same thing to other bechors. Ba'osru, and then the Chachamim declared it osur. Again, for either of these reasons, either because now he knows, or because now he knows what's going on, or he realizes this is a moment and actually makes it mutter, or because now that he did it the first time, it's the equivalent of us telling him to do it. Basically, now he's doing it with our das. Before he didn't do it with our das, because we just told him if it has a mum, and he spontaneously took out his sword and did it, whereas now we know that he's doing it as a regular thing.
The story doesn't tell how he became aware that it was...
Because I guess he asked around, yeah, he found out, I guess, yeah. Okay. Similarly, one time there were some kids, Jewish kids, playing in the field. They were tying together for fun. They were tying together the tails of lambs one to the other. And then in the course of the playing, they were little kids. They didn't realize the tail of one of them got torn off. And it turned out that particular animal was a bechor. And again, the case came to the chachamim, and they declared it mutter for the same reason, either because the kids didn't realize that they're going to make it that their action could conceivably make it mutter, or because because nobody told them to. Again, the two different reasons. No, why would you? No, why would you tell you that? No, it's not. Why would he tell you that? There's a mum. So Ubam Maisalif Nechachom Vichiru, so the case came to the Chachom and they were master it. Right, well, either because there was no intent, or either because there was no intent on the part of the kids, or there was no intent on the part of the adults. Those are the basic two things, right? Ro Shichiru, so now these kids saw that, hey, this is mutter. Holcho Vakosh was Zandis Vachoris Acherim, so they started doing the same thing to other animals Vachoris. But also, and then the Chachom declared it also for the same reason, either because now the kids know that it's going to make it mutter, or because now the adults know that they're doing it.
Similar.
Yeah, and we'll see in the Gemara why we need both cases. That qual, here is the general rule. Kol shu l'dayte oser, wherever it's with his das, then it's mutter. Shaloi l'dayte oser, rather. Shaloi l'dayte mutter. If it's not l'dayte, then it's mutter. Who is das? That's the argument between the two explanations. Does it mean the das of the one who's doing it, or does it mean the das of the one who owns the animal? So the Gemara says, "Pam acheres ha'isufolus." So we said in the Mishnah there were the two cases: one with the goy, the caster, and the other with the Jewish kids. So the Gemara says, "It's tricha. We need both cases to be said in the Mishnah." If we were only told the case involving the goy, we would say, "You know why it's mutter the first time? Because there's no reason to worry that he's going to get in the habit of doing this kind of thing." Now, in the Mishnah, he started making a habit of it. But the point is, Rashi says, we don't care whether he gets into the habit of doing an Isser, because after all, he's a goy. He anyway regularly does Isser. So we're not responsible for what he does. So you could think maybe therefore the first time it's mutter. Ava katan to us even misrach, but with a child, he may get in the habit of doing this and continue doing it even later on, let's say when he's an adult. Amaloi, maybe we'd say that even the first time it would be also as a precaution. The Iyashmin and katan, on the other hand, if we were only told the case involving the kid, you would say the reason why it's mutter the first time, Mishum Delay Osila Ichlufi the Gadol, because there's no chance of confusing it with an adult. People see that this Bechor is mutter on the grounds that a kid made a mumminit. They're not gonna think, well, therefore, by the same token, if an adult makes a mumminit, it's also gonna be mutter. People are gonna realize there's a difference between kids and adults. But when it comes to a goy doing it, an adult, the osila ichlufi the gadol, where it may be confused with a gadol, people see that a goy made a mum and it's mutter, people are going to think that if a Jew makes a mum, it's also mutter. Or a different explanation is also that not everybody, it's not always obvious when you look at a person whether he's a Jew or a goy. I mean, okay, nowadays to a certain extent it is because a Jew wears a yarmulke and tzitzis, but you know, in those days you didn't yet have the concept of wearing a yarmulke regularly, and to a certain extent many people covered their heads all the time anyway. So it wasn't always so obvious. So therefore, so you might you somebody sees him making a mum, they're not going to realize on first glance if he's a Jew or a guy.
In the case of the children, can't you say that, oh, if it's aso because children do it, for sure it's going to be aso because adults?
No, but that's the argument. You could say it should be also the first time. We're not talking about the second and third. We know the second and third is also either way. We're saying the first time. We should argue that maybe it's mutter in the case of kids because we're going to know there's a difference between kids and adults, but we're not going to know that that's the case if a goy did it the first time. And vice versa, if we're allowing it the first time by a goy, that might be because, okay, and if a goy ends up doing an issue again and again, who cares? We're not responsible for him anyway. Kids were responsible for it. Yeah.
But why don't we say for the kids, for the first time it should be awesome.
That's the point. We don't have to because, fine, the first time they didn't know what they were doing. Afterwards,
well,
yeah.
The other kids will know.
Yeah, but what do you mean the other kids will know?
Other kids will see that after the first time, they will do it again.
Okay, like this also, they're going to know in the future. Fine, like this in the future also, we're asking it, they're also going to know. So the point is, we don't have to ask it the first time. We don't have to ask it the first time on the grounds of chinuch. I mean, there is a concept of chinuch, fine, but the kids themselves are not liable for the averus they do anyway. So therefore, it's not that, yeah.
The kids are not.
Fine.
Liable.
Okay, so that's what we're saying. So, if a goy does it where he might be confused with a Jewish adult, either meaning that if people see a goy doing it, they might think the Jew does it as well as mutter, or people might think the goy himself is a Jew. Amaloi, so you would think maybe it should be also not, maybe it should be also the first time as well. Tzricha, and that's why we need both cases. In the Mishnah, the case of the caster and the case of the kids. Good. Omer of Chista, Omer of Ktina. Loi Shonu, this that we're saying in the Mishnah, that if we what was the case with the caster? He asked, why is this animal so shaggy? So they said to him, it's a bechor, and it can only be shechted if it has a mum. So Rav Chista says the wording of the Mishnah is very precise. It only worked the first time if they, to begin with, told him we can't shecht it unless it has a mum. But if they use the expression that, because the word "ihoya by mum" implies something that happens on its own, something that happens naturally. But if they say that it's only mutter im nasa by mum, if a mum is made in it, where the word "made" implies something that's done by a human being, then Rav Chista says commander omrulei zil over by mum adami. Then it amounts to telling him go make a mum in it, and then it would be also even the first time. Omar Rava, however, Rava disagrees and says no. Mechti mimeilavu, after all said and done, the goy didn't know necessarily that it's going to be mutter through him. After all, he didn't mean to be mutter it because he didn't know it's going to make it mutter, especially according to the Taz's explanation that as far as he knows, this thing is even considered a mum. So therefore, mali. So therefore, what's the difference? Mali hoya, mali nasa. What's the difference whether they use the word hoya or nasa? Either way, they're telling him a fact that it only is mutter if it develops a mum. If he then goes and pulls out his sword and does it spontaneously, then it's not our responsibility. He didn't know it's going to make it mutter, or according to the other explanation, we didn't tell him to. Therefore, it should be fine. Ela nasa nami mimelahu. So note, Rava says even if we use the word nasa, it still amounts to that. It's meant to be understood we can assume that he might understand that to mean that it's only mutter if it happens spontaneously, if it happens naturally, v'lo yishna, and therefore there's no difference whether we say hoya or not.
Why does Rav think the opposite?
Rav Chisda thinks the opposite. Rav Chisda thought the opposite because the Mishnah uses the expression "Hoya by Mum," so he holds that it's precisely that way. There's a difference between Hoya and Nasa. Rava disagrees with that. Okay. We said in the Mishnah that klal kosher l'das aser. The general rule is any time it's l'das, then it's aser. So the Gemara says le'isur yamai. What is that general rule coming to include? The answer is le'isur yagroma. It comes to include the case of groma that we learned about yesterday, that, for example, you're not allowed to take dough or whatever and put it on the ear of the animal so a dog will bite it. That would also be also, even though you didn't actually make the mum yourself, but it was l'daisa. It was based on your das because you wanted it to happen and you knew that the dog is going to come and cause it to happen, so then it's also. And shaloi l'das, what is it adding when the Mishnah says the rule is that it's shaloi l'das, then it's mutter. So what does that come to include? L'isuye mesiach l'fitumai. That comes to include a case of mesiach l'fitumai. Mesiach l'fitumai means that a person is just talking casually without intending to make a point or something. In other words, so Rashi learns mesiach l'fitumai over here means like this. In the Mishnah, what happened? This caster asks them what's going on with this animal, and they tell him this is a bechor, etc. What would happen if you had Jews talking among themselves and saying, I wonder how much longer this animal is going to be running around over here shaggy like this, and we can't check it because it's a bechor and it doesn't have a mum. Suppose then that the goy overhears them and goes and does it on his own. That would also be mutter. That's what we mean by mesiach l'fitumai.
Well, that's a bit obvious, because if you tell him up front that it's only shechted when there's a mum, so much more if he's not up front.
Well, okay, fine, but still, I mean, according to Rashi's explanation, and the explanation of the halacha, that the key thing is whether the goy knows that it's going to be mutter or not. Nothing to do with whether we told him to. Then the point is, we need both cases. Whether we actually answer him in response to a question, or whether we're just talking among ourselves and he overheard. Either way, as long as he doesn't know that it makes it mutter, then we're saying that it's okay. There's a different explanation.
If he doesn't know that it's mutter, if we don't suggest to him...
No, well, if he doesn't know that his action is going to make it mutter, because, like we said before, as far as he knows from our conversation or from what we told him, as far as he knows, only if a mum happens naturally is it going to be.
And if we formulate it in such a way that he may be right, that it's what becomes...
Well, that maybe is the NASA thing, where Robert is saying, even if they said NASA, which could imply that it means that it's made by human hands, nevertheless, it would be mutter as long as we didn't make that more explicit. So therefore, it would be the same thing over here. Okay, maybe, I don't know. Okay, fine. There is a different explanation that Spatemis wants to say. Mesiach l'fitumai over here refers to the goy. Generally, in halacha, usually Mesiach l'fitumai usually refers to the goy. So it means if the goy is spontaneously... He's having a casual conversation with a friend of his or whatever, and mentions that, you know, last week, a funny story that happened, I saw this shaggy animal, and I pulled out my sword and made a notch in its ear, and I don't know what happened after that. Then that would be, then also we're implying that it would be mutter again, because he didn't know that it was going to make it mutter.
In the Russian town,
yeah. He's just talking innocently, naively innocently. Yeah, basically. No, he doesn't understand, but he doesn't understand the ramifications.
Yeah.
Mishnah says, here's another case where mum is made an animal. Hoya b'chor roitfoy. Suppose that an animal, a b'chor, is chasing after a person, intending to gore him. Batoiv also by mum, and the person kicks the animal, and thereby makes a mum in it. Hareza shecht, and all of the din is you're allowed to shecht the b'chor on the basis of that mum, because he meant to save himself. He wasn't making a mum for the purpose of making a mum yet. Okay. By the way, well, no, he knew it was a b'chor, let's say even. But, and actually, as Harris Yisroel points out, an interesting thing. Rashi over here uses the expression, let's say it was a ram, like in the previous Mishnah. So what the Harris Yisroel says, if it was a bull, then fine, there's less of a chiddush in it, because, okay, a bull's goring is dangerous. But even a ram, where the goring of it is not particularly dangerous, because a ram is not that large an animal, relatively speaking, it could be, but it's not nearly as dangerous as a... Okay, understood, but it's fine. But its horns are curved back. It's not like a bull's horns that face forward. Whatever. The point is that it's much less dangerous, and nevertheless, we're saying that if it wasn't kicked, it would save himself. Amar Rav Papa, lo shonu ela shabate b'shas redifa. So Rav Papa says this that we're saying in the Mishnah, that it's mutter, is only if you kicked it while it was chasing you, in order to distract it and get away safely. Avala acha redifa, but if you kicked it only after it finished chasing, because just like you're still angry at it, loy, then no, we wouldn't say that you're mutter to shech the b'chor on that basis. That's a pshita. Isn't that obvious? The Mishnah says that it's chasing after him and he kicked it. The answer is no. Mao detema. No, the reason why the Papa needs to say it is because you would have thought, Sarehu de Kamidgar, maybe the guy is still angry, he's still feeling the bother and the pain of what happened before, and therefore like he's letting out his frustration on it, and maybe therefore it should be mutter. Kamash Malon, therefore the Papa is telling us that's not a valid reason, and therefore it's awesome.
He's
just doing it out of frustration. Ikadamri, another version goes the other way around. Amar Papa, that in the second version, a Papa says, Loi tema b'shasri difa ein abo shaloi b'shasri difa loi. Don't think that this case in the Mishnah only applies if he kicked it while chasing him, but if he kicked it later on after it finished chasing him, then not. Ela filu la'achari difa nami. In the second version, it's the other way around. Even if he did it after it finished chasing him and it calmed down, then also it would be mutter. My timer. Why is that Sarehu to commit? Because he's still remembering his pain and everything, and therefore, in other words, it's considered a valid excuse for him to kick the animal at that point to take out his frustration.
Even out of danger.
He's doing it out of frustration, and he's still. No, but that's the second version is saying that it's the opposite of the first version. The halacha is like the second version.
Even after
the animal calmed down and he's out of danger and whatever, if he's still so frustrated that he goes and kicks the animal and ends up making a mum in it would still be mutter. Because he's not doing it in order to make a mum, he's doing it out of frustration. Okay, you can say we're rewarding his anger. Fine, okay, whatever. The point is that a mum has been made, he didn't mean to make a mum, and therefore it's a lie.
He didn't mean
to make a mum, he kicked it. He didn't know.
Okay. Well, he was willing to take
the risk. No, so it's the same thing as the Hakaza before, where we said that you're allowed to do the Hakaza even where it might make a mum.
That's different, here you're not.
Okay, but it's a similar concept. In other words, that's what we're saying. In other words, we're only saying it's also where he's doing it for the purpose of making a mum in order to make it mutter. He was not doing it for the purpose of making a mum. He's doing it in order to let out his frustration.
At the risk of
pulling. Might cause a mum, it might not.
It's
not
just an amara.
Okay, it's not particularly sure he's doing it.
No,
then the intent is that he's not intending to make a mum.
So even if he knows he's educated. Maybe not.
Doesn't matter. A kick might make a moment, might not. It depends where he kicks it. It depends how hard he kicks it, etc. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. So since we're talking about making a mum in a bechor, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mutu lahato mum bechor kodem sheyetz la'avra olam." You're allowed to make a mum in the bechor before it actually comes out of the womb. Because when does it become kodesh? Only when it exits the womb. And therefore, as long as it reaches that stage, it doesn't have kedusha. Therefore, you're allowed to make a mum. The halacha is like that. However, the Gemara explains in Temura, which we'll learn in a few months, Beis Hashem, that only applies nowadays where you can't bring it as a korban anyway. In the times of the Beis Hamikdash, where a bechor tam is supposed to be brought as a korban, then you can't do that. Nowadays you can do it because the fact of the matter is, otherwise you have the problem that the bechor is going to be born, and like the previous Mishnah, it's going to live who knows how long and get shaggier, and you might end up doing a takola, you might end up even actually shechting it while it's full of tam, which would be kodshim bechot, which is chayav karet, or you might end up shearing it or working with it, which is also, which is an isur lav, so therefore, to avoid those potential problems, you're allowed to do this. But in the times of this mitzvah, you have no such excuse. You're not going to be keeping it for any length of time. You're going to be waiting until it's old enough, and you're going to be bringing it as a korban. Okay. So how can you make a bechor before it actually comes out of the womb? Amar Rava, Gadya Be'udne, when it comes to a baby goat, what you can do is you can make the mum in its ear, because a goat has very long, floppy ears. So therefore, when it's being born, you have the ears are visible first. So therefore, when is the animal considered born? When the head or most of the head comes out. So therefore, you have the ears are sometimes come out ahead, and therefore you're able to reach and then make a mum in the ear before anything else comes out.
Would you be over and stop by the time?
No, because you're doing it for a purpose. You're doing it for a constructive purpose, so that you don't have the issue of bechor and the tekola of it. So it's the same as any other stop by the time for a constructive purpose. By the way, again, we talked about yesterday the opinion of the Alter Rebbe that holds that only the cartilage that's very close to the opening of the ear is what makes the animal a mum. So here's an illustration of the ear. Here's an illustration of the ear of a goat. So you have two different sets of cartilage. You have a cartilage over here, it's called the auricular cartilage, that makes up most of the structure of the outer ear. And then you have this little piece over here called the annular cartilage, which is a ring of cartilage right inside the ear canal.
It seems
from Alfred's description, if I'm understanding correctly, that he's saying that only the annular cartilage would be what makes it a mum.
No, probably the external
cartilage. No, the external cartilage specifically says not. He says even if the whole ear
That would be the cutoff, but it's not.
So in other words, only the annular cartilage. Only he says what's very close to the bone, to the hole in the bone of the skull.
So
the pastures would be this and this, annular cartilage. That's my assumption anyway. I'm not quite clear about that. Anyway, our Gemara over here is another, where I mentioned yesterday that there were various Achronim who questioned the Alter Rebbe's opinion about that, and one of their proofs is, again, from our Gemara over here, because if you're talking about the part of the cartilage that's so close to the skull, then how is a goat any different than any other animal? If the whole point is that a goat's ears are floppy, then the pastures are talking about the other parts of the ear. Okay, anyway. It's a question. It seems from our Gemara over here. It seems only right. Yeah. Okay. So God give it Udne. So a goat, you're able to make a mum in its ear before it's fully born. Imra b'sifvase, a sheep which doesn't have such long ears, there what you would have to do is you'd have to make a mum in its lips, because the lips come out before any other part of the head normally, and therefore you can do that. Ika da'amri imra nami b'udne. Some say that even with a sheep, you could conceivably make a mum in the ear before it's born, because it's very possible that it started coming out with the temples first, and therefore, in other words, that you have the ear comes out, starts coming out of the womb before the front of the head, and therefore it's possible to make a mum in the ear there as well.
It's not considered a
bechor. Well, right, exactly. It's not considered a bechor until most or all of the head comes out, right?
That's
with a sheep. With a goat, either way, we're saying that you could do it in the ear, because the ears are long and floppy and they come out first. Okay. Amar Rava. So Rava says, also speaking about mumim, now mainly the discussion of what is and isn't a mum is mainly going to be in the next teretz. But since we're talking over here about what kind of, about mumim that can make the animal mutter to be shechted, so another brief thing about this. Amar Rava. Ochal, now we're going to learn, or Papa actually, Rishitamuk about to change it to. Now in the next perek, again, we're going to have a whole list of the mumim. The general rule is that a mum is only something which is visible externally. If you have a mum somewhere on the inside of the animal's body, then that's not considered a mum. It may make a chafer or not, but if it's not in a visible area of the body, then it's not considered a mum. So Amar Rava, Ocho Vole Mechzi, suppose that the animal has a mum inside its mouth, and it's in a place that when it's eating, when it opens its mouth to eat, you can't see that mum, but Po'i Umechzi, but if the animal opens its mouth wide to make a noise, to bleat or whatever, then you're able to see it. So then, if you have a mum in such a place that when the animal is eating, where it only opens its mouth a little bit, you can't see this mum. But when the animal opens its mouth wide to make a noise, then you see it having mumma. Then Rava or Papa says that's considered a mum, and you're allowed to shech the bechor on the basis. Yeah. The question is, the Gemara says, "My kamashim one. What's Rava or a Papa's chiddush? Tanena. We learn in it." Well, not so much that it's obvious, but we learn in the next parak, when one of the Mishnayos in the next parak, we say, Hachotin Hachitsonis Shenifgamu V'Shenigmamu, among the mumim are, if the outer chotin, and I'll explain in a second what chotin are, if the outer chotin are nifgamu, that they're damaged, they're nicked or blunted or whatever, V'Shenigmamu, or if they're cut flush, Rashi actually translates shenigmamu rather as shenifgamu means mehem ma'at, that a little bit of them is chipped away, is defective or whatever. Nigmamu means that they were cut widthwise from deeply. So nothing is missing. But in other words, Rashi apparently understands that it means like the inside, like there's a hollow in them kind of. Now Rashi defines over here the chotin. Rashi defines over here as the gut. The gums. So chutin achitzonit would be, according to Rashi, the outer gums. And one thing you have to realize, by the way, inside the lips, obviously. One thing you have to realize, we talked about this in Chulin, is kosher animals, which is what we're dealing with here, of course, don't have that many front teeth. They have upper front teeth. They have rather lower front teeth, but up above they don't have teeth. They just have a pad, which is part of the gum.
Cows, sheep,
goats, all kosher animals are like that. They only. We learned in Kulin. We had a case over there where you find an animal whose feet are chopped up, so you don't know if it's a kosher animal, so you don't know if that's the hooves. But if you see that if it doesn't have the upper teeth, then you know it's a kosher animal as long as you can recognize it's not a young camel, but a young camel also hasn't developed these upper teeth yet. Anyway, yeah, the point is that so here we're saying, so according to Rashi, chutin means the gums. There are other Rishonim who learn that, including Rabbeinu Gershom over here, learns that chutin actually means the teeth themselves. Whatever it is, shenifgamu, if they're nicked, or shenigmamu, or they're cut, which Rashi understands cut as meaning basically that, it seems the way Rashi understands, that it means, in other words, like there's a deep cut into them, so none of the substance is actually missing, but like you have a deep cut into the gum, that would be nigmamu, according to Rashi. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, that's talking about the teeth, we mean that the teeth are actually cut off, flush with the gum, but the roots are still below the gum line. So anyway, so those are considered a mum, hapnimius shenechu, and the inner, the back gums, or the back teeth, or the molars, which kosher animals have those as well. Those are the animals. It's a mum only shenechu, only if they're completely uprooted. Now, my timer. Now, why would we make a distinction? Why would we say if the pnimius are nechu, why would it be considered a mum? On the face of it, you don't see all the way to the back of the animal's mouth like that to see if its gums or its teeth are missing. The reason must be lav mishum de kipari mechi. Presumably, the reason must be because when the animal bleats, then you can see it. So therefore, that's exactly what Rava or Rapalta is telling us. What's the chiddush?
It's the opposite. We're saying that it's only when the animal opens its mouth because...
That's exactly what Rava was saying. If when the animal opens its mouth wide, you can see something is missing, then it's a mum. So the Mishnah is it. So presumably the Mishnah is telling us the same thing. What's Rava adding? The answer is, Omar Papa, Rava Nami Taima Devasnis in the Farish. Oh, it's not actually, okay, Shittimukubesis is, it's not that he changes Rava to Rapapa, it's that he's saying Rapapa said in the name of Rava. And so now Rapapa is clarifying what he had said in the name of Rava. Amar Rapapa, Rava Nami Taima Demasnis in the Farish. You're right, Rava is not telling us a new din that we wouldn't have otherwise known. We know the din from Mishnah. Rava is explaining the reason behind the Mishnah. My Taima Nechu having Muma, why should it be a Muma if the inner gums, or if the back gums or the molars are uprooted, are taken out of the mouth, why is it a mum? Mishum, the kipoi mechi. The reason is, and that's what Rava is telling us, because when the animal opens its mouth wide to bleat, then you can see it.
1 second. It becomes a mum because...
Because when you can see it, when the animal opens its mouth wide. In other words, if it were, for example, if it were a mum way down in the throat, for example, then it would not be considered a mum. Then it wouldn't be considered a mum.
So what makes a mum is what
is when it's on some part of the animal, if some part of the animal is visible, right? Yeah.
So if you had the same damage done, but the animal couldn't open its mouth, it wouldn't be a mum?
No, because if the animal was able to, I mean, the fact that it can't open its mouth itself might be a mum, I don't know, but the point is that, but we're saying the reason why it's a mum is because when the animal opens its mouth, I'm saying maybe if its mouth is paralyzed and it can't open its mouth, that might be a mum anyway, but,
so that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Okay, the point is, so then you could see it can't open its mouth, so that itself is a mum, the fact that it can't open its mouth.
No, I'm not talking about opening the mouth being a mum, I'm talking about the fact that he cannot open his mouth for whatever reason. Then it's not a mum.
Okay, but it would still probably in that case maybe go according to the majority of animals. The majority of animals, if they had a mum in that place, if they opened their mouth wide, then you'd be able to see it. So this particular one, okay, is it semi-paralyzed or whatever. Again, I don't know, paralysis itself might be a mum. Okay, whatever. Fine. Mishnah said. Okay, well then, fine. So you open its mouth with forceps or whatever it is. Again, when you open it, as wide as it would normally open, when it bleeds, then you can see it. Okay. Fine. Mishnah says. Any mum that could happen through human agency. Now, and again, in the next paragraph, we're going to learn about various mums. Some of them are congenital. Obviously, we don't have to be choshesh that somebody made them. But then you have other mumim where conceivably a person could make them. Rashi gives, the human intervention. Rashi gives examples. Let's say, for example, if the eye is blinded, if a leg is chopped off, if there's a split in the ear, etc. So those kinds of things, Roya Yisrael Nemanim, a Yisrael who's a shepherd can be trusted to say that it happened on its own. as we'll say, we'll explain in the Gemara, why we don't suspect that he might have done it himself. Royim koyanim ein nemonim. But on the other hand, shepherds of koyanim are not believed. They're choshed on it. Now, we have to figure out, what do we mean by roya Yisrael? Do we mean that the, and roya koyanim, do we mean that the shepherd of Yisrael versus the shepherd of the koyan? Or do we mean the shepherd of a Yisrael's animal versus the shepherd of a koyan's animal? That's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Neman Huach Shochaber. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that he can be trusted about somebody else's animal. The Ainan Neman Al Shalatma, but we're not going to trust him about his own animal. Reb Meir Omer Hachoshed Al Adover. Reb Meir says, as he said in the previous parak, that somebody who's suspect about a particular din, Loi Donoy Vlemi Ida, is not allowed to sit on a base din regarding such an issue, and is not allowed to give aidus regarding such an issue. So what do Reb Shimon Gamliel mean and what do Reb Meir mean? That we're going to discuss in the Gemara. The Gemara starts off. Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar have two different understandings of what the Mishnah means. Chad Omar, one says that when we say Roya Yisrael, we mean that the shepherd is a Yisrael. We mean Roya Yisrael Bei Koyanim. We mean the shepherd is a Yisrael, even if he's taking care of the animal that belongs to a Koyan. So the Bechor has already been given to a Koyan after the 30 or 50 days that we learned in the previous parak. And now a Yisrael shepherd is taking care of it for the Kohen. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying, according to this opinion, Ne'emonin, we still believe this Yisrael said that the mum happened on its own. Shouldn't we suspect that maybe the Yisrael has an interest in claiming that it happened on its own, where really he did it himself in order that then when the Kohen shepherd, he can invite me, the Yisrael, to share in it, because we looked before the civil says the Yisrael is allowed to share in it. No, we're not concerned about that kind of thing. We're not choshed that he might have done that in order to, that he, yeah, not so much too remote, but we're not concerned about it. For him himself directly to be able to shecht and eat it, he being the owner, yes. For him just that he might, to be invited, then not. Royei Koyanim Bei Yisrael, on the other hand, continues this opinion. When the Mishnah says Royei Koyanim are not trusted, that means even Bei Yisrael, even if the animal is still in the household of Yisrael, has not been given to the Koyan yet, but the shepherd who's taking care of it as a Kohen, also ain't nam on him. Also, we still don't believe the Kohen. We suspect that he may have made the moon himself. Why? It doesn't belong to him. Because Meimer Omar, because the Kohen is likely to think to himself, Kiven de Katarachnabe, since I've been working for him, taking care of the animal, Lo Shobik Lididi V'yoy Lachrini. He's not going to ignore me and give this Bechor to somebody else. Now, fine, technically, maybe that shouldn't be the case. We learned before that the Koyan is not allowed to even say, yeah, the base agronis, but nevertheless, the Koyan may think that the Yisrael is likely to give it to him.
Is it wrong to...
Well, that's what we said before. It's not supposed to be Koyan and say, yeah, the base agronis. It's not supposed to be that the Koyan helps out the Yisrael, and therefore the Yisrael rewards him. No, we're not saying that you're allowed to. We're saying the Koyan is likely to think that the Yisrael, the Koyan may think that the Yisrael is likely to do that. That the Yisrael is likely to do that, right. So according to that opinion, the words Roya Yisrael and Roya Koyanim in the Mishnah mean, is the shepherd a Yisrael or is the shepherd a Koyanim? Then, according to that opinion, if the shepherd is a Yisrael, then even if the animal belongs to a Koyan, then the animal is Mutter.
Not the
dog. Then we trust the Yisrael. If the shepherd is a Koyan, even if the owner is a Yisrael, we don't trust him to say that it happened on a Sunday. Then, according to that explanation, the Mishnah continues, V'hu hadin koyin l'koyin. The same din would apply if it's a koyin shepherd taking care of the animal that belongs to a koyin. The chashinim, or maybe even more generally, that one koyin testifying on behalf of another one. So if Reuven, a koyin, has a bechor, then Shimon, the koyin, is not, even if he doesn't have any business relationship with him, we would be saying that the Mishnah, that he wouldn't be allowed to testify for him. And then the author of Shimon Gamliel Lameim and Naman of Al Shachavere and Naman Al Shachatzmai. Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that case is not a problem. If you have two different Koyanim, then you can't trust him on his own animal, but you can trust him on a different Koyan's animal. So therefore, in that case, it would be better. The author of Meir Lameim, and then the Meir comes and says, no, Hachoshed Al Adavar LeDonev LeMeidoy. A Koyan is suspect about making a Mumin of Bechor. Therefore, he can't judge it, and therefore, he can't give Eidos on it. So even between Reuven and Shimon, two unrelated Koyanim, for one of them to give Eidos on the other, because Reb Meir says every Koyan himself is suspect that he might. It's not, but nevertheless, Reb Meir holds as a general concept, we learned this in the previous parak, that if somebody is suspect that he's careless about a certain din, then we don't allow him to give aid on it. That's a general concept.
Why do you call him suspect kosher?
Kosher because if he ever has a bechorah of his own, if he ever has a bechorah given to him by another Yisrael, he's suspect that he may do the same thing. He may make a mumah. That's what we mean, in other words, because every Kohen, if he gets a hold of a Bechor, is suspect of making a mum in it in order to save himself the bother of having to raise this animal until it's who knows how old before he's able to sheft it. Therefore, he's liable to, therefore, we suspect that he may try to take the shortcut of making a mum and pretending that it happened on its own.
To save money,
To save money, yeah, to save too, but yeah, to save time, money, whatever, yeah, exactly. Okay, so therefore, so according to that opinion, if it belongs to another Kohen, it's not that he himself has any share in it, but because, your mayor says, because he himself, when he has a Bechor, is suspect that he might make a mumin it himself and find his own, a Bechor that's given to him by another Yisrael. First we're talking about one person raising an animal for a different for, then we mentioned, we had, in the Mishnah, we had a case where you have a shepherd and you have an owner. Then we meant where one is a Kohen, one is Yisrael. Now, the Mishnah does not mention, the Mishnah is implying that the same din would be if there are two Kohenim involved. Where, that Dechashinim, sorry, I missed the line over here. Vuadin Kohen LeKohen, Dechashinim LeGoimlin. The same din would be, according to the Tanakhama, if you have two Kohenim involved, because we suspect that they may try to do a favor for each other. Because, in other words, whether we're talking about a Kohen shepherd and a Kohen owner, or whether we're talking about two unrelated Kohenim, the concern is that the shepherd, let's say, is likely to say, I'm going to make a muminit and claim that, and claim that it happened on its own in order that my boss can eat it. Fine. He would. He might say, in other words, and then later on, if I ever am given a bechor by somebody, he'll do the same thing for me. Yeah. So therefore, that's the Tanakhama. But also Reb Shimon Gamliel Lamemar. Then Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, we're not worried about Goimlin. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, we trust the person about somebody else's animal. We just don't trust him about his own. So if he wants to give Eidos about a different Kohen's animal that developed a mum on its own, we can believe him. But also Reb Meir Lamemar. And Reb Meir disagrees and says, no, Achosh is all a devil. I don't ever let me eat it. Which, in that case, it comes out that Reb Meir seems to be saying basically the same thing as the Tanakhama, so we're going to have to figure out soon what is Reb Meir adding. So that's one opinion, that's one explanation of what the Mishnah means. Roye Koyen and Roye Yisrael means a shepherd is a Koyen on behalf of a Yisrael, or a shepherd is a Yisrael on behalf of a Koyen. And then you have the implicit case of two Koyenim, and then you have Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Meir addressing that. Okay, V'chad Omer, then the second opinion between Reb Yochanan and Reb Elazar explains like this. Roya Yisrael, the word Roya Yisrael means somebody who's shepherding an animal that belongs to a Yisrael, the Hain Koyanim, the shepherd himself is a Koyan. So according to that understanding, the Mishnah is saying Nemonim, we do trust the Koyan to say that this mum happened on its own. What do you mean? He's a Koyan. Because Meima Omar, because he's likely to say to himself, Loi Shovik, Surva, Merabonan, the Yahya Vididi. Just the opposite of before. Before we were assuming, according to the first opinion, that the Koyan, that the Koyan shepherd is likely to say, look, the Yisrael has to give it to some Koyan. He's more likely to give it to me because I've been working for him all this time. Now, in this one, we're saying the other way around. He's likely to think to himself, look, I know that the Chachamim say you're really supposed to give Matnas Kohona to a Tamil Chacham. So therefore, he's not going to ignore the Tzurva Menabonim, the Tamil Chacham, who's a Kohen, the Yahya Vididi, and give me the Bechor. In other words, therefore, that he's not going to assume that the Kohen is going to give it to me.
Because
he's supposed to give it to a Tzurva Menabonim, to a Tamil Chacham. Okay, even if he's an Amoris, okay, but maybe, but even so, there are certain things he knows. He knows what's going on sociologically. He knows that some of the Chachamim tend to get more Matnasona than Amoris. Okay, Tosfos talks about over here, there can be, for example, that you do have a case, let's say, where you regularly give your Matnasona to the same Kohen. That might be a little different, but here we're talking about where he doesn't have an established relationship like that where he receives the Yisrael Matnasona. So therefore, according to this opinion, we will believe the Kohen Roya to say that it develops a mum on its own, because he has no stake in it. But on the other hand, Roye Koyanim Behen Yisrael, if it's the other way around, if he's taking care of an animal that belongs to a Koyan, but he himself, the shepherd, is Yisrael, this is the second opinion of the Amoraim, the exact opposite of the first one.
Before
we said, okay, again, the Mishnah had said Roye Yisrael Ne'emonim, Roye Koyanim Ne'emonim, the first opinion is that Roye Yisrael meant the shepherd is Yisrael, and he's trustworthy, and Roye Koyanim is the shepherd of the Koyan, and he's not trustworthy. The second opinion is the other way around. Kohen shepherd of a Yisrael is trustworthy. A Yisrael shepherd of a Kohen is not. Roya Kohenim, the Hain Yisrael, ain't them on him. Jehashinim Legima, because we're concerned that he may do it in order to get invited to the meal where they're going to serve the Bechor's meat. The Chol Shekin. Legima means giving food. Gedolah Legima Shemakarem. So giving somebody food is a great thing. You might say that. Meloshim Logam, Meloshim Drinking. Then again, the Mishnah would be implying how much more so if you have a Kohen taking care of an animal for another Kohen, Deloy, that would be author. The Tanakhama would say, because then you have two concerns. Number one, Goimlin, he may say, I'll scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch my back in the future. And second of all, we're concerned about Legima, that he may be doing it in order to be invited. Yeah. But also Reb Shimon Lameima, then Reb Shimon Gamliel comes and says, no, even in the case of two Kohenim, we will trust him with someone else's animal. We're not just not going to trust him on his own. So we're not worried about Legima, and we're not worried about Goimlin, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. But also the Meir Lameimer, and then the Meir comes and says, no, Hachoshet Aladavar, somebody who's suspect about a particular din, in this case, Kohenim have a chazaka of being suspect that they're going to make mumim in a bechor. They're not allowed to judge something involving it. They're not allowed to give edus involving it, and therefore this Kohen cannot give edus on behalf of the other Kohen. The halacha, we'll get to the halacha soon. Hold on. We'll get to that soon. Okay. Fine. So those are the two explanations of the Mishnah. So again, the key point is, does Roya Yisrael mean that the shepherd is a Yisrael, or does Roya Kohenim, and Roya Kohenim means the shepherd is a Kohen, or does it mean Roya Yisrael means the shepherd of a Yisrael, where the shepherd himself is a Kohen, and Roya Kohenim means the shepherd of a Kohen, where the shepherd is a Yisrael? Okay. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Lamanda Omer Roya Yisrael Behem Kohenim Nemonim. Okay. So I can understand, according to the first opinion, that says if the shepherd is a Yisrael, and according to the second opinion, rather, that we're saying that if the shepherd is working for Yisrael, and the shepherd himself is a Kohen, according to the second opinion, we said Ne'emonim, we said a Kohen is believed, because we said he's going to figure that the Yisrael is likely to give the Bechor to a Talmid Chacham rather than to me. Well, according to that, we can understand Hainu de Osir of Meir Lameima. Then we can understand what Rameir's chiddush is, what he's adding to the Tanakhama, that he says, no, Hachoshed al Adavar le'Donei v'Lemido. No, somebody who's choshed on something cannot judge it, cannot give edus on it. In other words, you Tanakhama are saying that only in the case where two Kohenim would there be a problem because of Goimlin and because of Legima. But if it's a Kohen working on behalf of a Yisrael, you're not worried about it because the Kohen is going to figure I'm probably not going to get this Bechor anyway. Rameir says, never mind whether he has a financial stake in it or not. Never mind whether he's likely to get this Bechor or not. The fact is he's choshered and therefore he can't give edus on it. He's choshered on that if he ever gets the Bechor of his own, he may make a mum in it. As we assume that the Kohenim are... No, in this particular case, it's not. But because the mayor says, as a general rule, because any time he has a bechor in his possession, he's suspect of making a mum in it. Therefore, now he's not able to give edus on a case involving a mum of a bechor. We had that in the previous paragraph. That's what Meir holds. Nothing to do with whether he has a financial stake right now. Reb Meir says that if a person is choshered on a certain din, then he can't be involved in it.
In which situation is choshered?
Yes. As long as he's choshered that he's going to be over on a certain Aveda, then we don't allow him to be an aid for anything involving that.
Yes.
Well, no, it has to be related in the sense that Bechor and Bechor.
No, I understand that. The type of case.
The type of case, that's what we mean. We don't care whether he has a stake in it or not. Right. Okay, so that would be, according to that second explanation, then we can understand what Reb Meir is arguing with the Tanakhama. So you have three opinions. The Tanakhama would say that a shepherd who's a Kohen working for Yisrael is trustworthy. And however, a Kohen working for another Kohen is not. Reb Shimon Gamliel says a Kohen working for another Kohen is trustworthy. And Reb Meir would say even a Kohen is working for Yisrael is not. Fine. That's straightforward. But according to the first opinion, that when we say in the Mishnah, when the Tanakhama says shepherds Kohenim, meaning that we say according to the first opinion, means the shepherd is a Kohen, and he's working for Yisrael, so we say he's not trustworthy, well then my also the mayor lashminim, and what's the mayor adding? Yeah, the Kohen is choshered, and therefore the mayor is saying he can't give aiders. So what is he adding to the thing? Yeah, he's saying, what is he adding to the Tanakhama? The answer is, ikabenayu, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi. There's the argument between the mayor and the Chachamim about the din that Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusai said. What is that din? The Tanya, we learn in the Blaise, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusai, B'chur Bei Koyin, when you have a B'chur that's in the household of a Koyin, that's already been given to the Koyin, or that the Koyin had among his own animals, whatever it is, Sorich Shnayim Min Ashuk L'Hoyed Olav, you have to have two people from the street, in other words, two unrelated people to give edus about it, that the B'chur happened, that the mum happened on its own, that this person did not make the mum. In other words, the owner himself is not trustworthy. Not only the owner himself, but any koyanim in his household are also not trustworthy. You need two people who are not at all related to the members of his household to give edus on it. However, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusai doesn't seem to be caring whether those two people minashuk can be koyanim themselves or not. The implication seems to be, according to him, they could be koyanim as long as they're not related.
He's talking about a Kohen.
A Kohen has a Bechor, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusai says, if the Kohen is saying this Bechor has a mum, I want to shecht it, we need two people unrelated to him, or not members of his household, or his family, or whatever, to give edus on it. However, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusai doesn't seem to be caring whether they're Kohenim, whether they're Kohenim or not. So that would be the argument. In other words, that according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, yes, a Kohen can, we're saying a Kohen can give edus for another Kohen when they're not shepherd and boss, when they're unrelated. And Rav Meir would be saying, no, the fact that he's a Kohen disqualifies him, period. Okay, then the Braita continues. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you don't need people minashuk. Even the owner's own son or the owner's own daughter would be mutter to give avis on it, for the same reason that we said in the Mishnah, neman hu al shachaveri, the ein neman al shalav, ein neman al shalav. We trust him about somebody else's thing. We don't trust him about his own. He or his father is somebody else after all. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold his mutter.
The
kohen who has the bechor now. Yeah. And Rabbi Yossi is a third opinion. Rabbi Yossi, Shidimukubata, says, no, afilo asara v'hen b'nei beis be'en me'edin olav. Even if you have 10 people who are members of his household, they can't give aiders. But implying that, according to him, even as long as you have one aid from outside the family, then it's good enough. So we have three opinions. You have the Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusai saying you need two aiden. You have Rav Shimon Gamliel saying you don't need two Adam unrelated, from outside the family. Rav Shimon Gamliel says all you need is even people from the family is good. And then Rav Yossi says you don't need two, you only need one. So therefore, so the argument, according to the first way of understanding our Mishnah, that Roye Koyanim and Roye Yisrael means a shepherd is a Koyanim, a shepherd is Yisrael. So in the case of shepherd and boss, there's no actual argument between the Tanakhama and Rav Meir. Both of them agree the Koyan shepherd is not trustworthy, that this mum happened on its own. But if you're talking about two unrelated Koyanim, that would be an unrelated Koyan, then that would be the argument. Two unrelated Koyanim. So that would be the argument between the Tanakhama and Rav Meir. The Tanakhama would hold like Rabbi Shurban Kusai that you need two Edim, however those Edim can be Koyanim. And Rav Meir would say that they can't be Koyanim. They're Choshen and therefore they're disqualified completely. You need two people from the Shuk who are not Koyanim.
Not the police household.
Right. Well, not right. So the Gemara says, "Keman Ozla Ha De Amar of Chis De Amar of Ketina." Who does it go? Which of these opinions does it follow? This that Rav Chisda says in the name of Rav Ketina, Sofik Bechor Shenor LeBe Yisrael. So you have a similar concept with a Sofik Bechor. It's a statement of Amar. So Sofik Bechor. Now we've learned before about a Sofik Bechor. We've learned you do have to treat it with Yoshas Bechor to be on the safe side. You still can't shear it. You still can't work with it. You still can't sell meat by weight, etc. However, you don't have to give it to the Koyan. You're allowed to keep it for yourself because of the suffix. So in a similar case, we have a Sofik Bechor that was born in the household of Israel. Sorech Shnayim and Ashuk L'Hoyed Olav. So Rav Chisda says you need two people from the street to give Eidos that it has a mum, that the mum developed on its own. Keman, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusai. That would be like Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusai's opinion, who says that you need two, just like he says, you need two Edim, where the animal belongs to a Kohen. In the same way, by a Sofik Bechor, the same din would apply if it belongs to a Yisrael, because you have the same logic that the Yisrael then would be suspect of, that he might make a mum in it in order to hold him. Okay. So therefore, that's it. So that statement, that you would need two people to give Edus on it, would be according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Kusai.
Sure.
Now, then not necessarily is that the halacha, because we haven't finished yet. So Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Nachman says you don't need any of that. Bailim me'idin olav. In that case where you're talking about Yisrael, the owner himself is able to give edus on it. Okay, but nevertheless, why? The Eloi Temahochi, because your Machlan says, after all, if you're not going to say it like that, Maisa, the mayor, me may Adolov, then after all, what are you going to say about Maisa Behema? Who can give Adris on it? If the mayor is saying anybody who's koshered to that because they have a financial stake in it, they might make a mum in it, and then therefore Maisa Behema can be eaten by anybody. Therefore, Yisrael, who has Maisa Behema and claims that it has a mum, I should be able to shecht it, should also be suspect. And then according to the mayor, every Yisrael and every Kohen would be suspect. According to the mayor, how could anybody ever give Adris? That's the point. So obviously, therefore, according to the mayor, it must be that you accept the Adris of somebody, even though he might be a choshed on it, were it his own animal. So therefore, but the same logic by a Bechor, fine, we're going to say not by a Kohen, but he's through all those different words, stuff of Bechor. However, the Gemara says that's not a valid proof, because Maisa Vadai Meheman. No, because there's no question by Maisa you can trust even the owner himself, because we don't have to assume that he would do it in a way that's usur to declare it Maisa and then go and make a mum in it, because he has a way of accomplishing the same thing to Heter. The boy shodib a mum of Kula Edre. Because after all, he could have, before he ever started counting for Maisa, we had this concept before, he could have made a mum in all the animals in the herd, and that way whichever one gets picked for Maisa is going to be a Baal mum anyway. So he had a way of accomplishing the same thing to Heter. So therefore, we don't assume that he would instead have to do it in a way that's also. Whereas with a Bechor, you don't have such a thing, because unless you manage to make a mum before it's born, as we said before, then you're stuck with a Bechor.
If he does a mum to all the animals,
then whichever one comes out tenth is going to be Meiser, but you can't bring it as a korban. You just shecht it and you eat it. So therefore, that's a different situation. So that's not a proof, because there he has a way of accomplishing it to Heter. No, there he has a way of accomplishing it to Heter, so therefore we should assume by Meiser. Therefore, we don't assume that he would go about doing it. Therefore, he's not considered choshud that he would do it to Isser when he could have equally well accomplished the same thing to Heter. Whereas by Bechor, you don't have that. So therefore, we could argue that the mayor would say that it wouldn't help unless he made it before it was born, and that's not so easy. Fine, it's not so easy to do that.
No, but it's possible,
but it's not so easy. With making a mum in all your animals before you take mice from them is much easier. They're all there.
Okay, so we're talking about if you made a mum after birth.
Yeah, right. That's the whole discussion over here. Okay. So the question still is, El Asafik Bechor that a mayor me made all of. Okay, but the question still would be that Rav Nachman, the question still would be, fine, Asafik Bechor, according to the mayor, though, who would be able to give Adis on it? So obviously, in other words, if you're going to say that the owner is choshered on it, whether he's a Koyan and it's a Vadai Bechor, or if he's Yisrael and it's a Safek Bechor, then it would come out according to the mayor that anybody who's choshered can't give Adris. It would mean nobody could give Adris on a Safek Bechor. No, because a Levi is the same as a Yisrael as far as that goes. And the Bechor doesn't go to him either. And a Safek Bechor, he can keep the same way. So everybody would be choshered. That's the point. So obviously, the mayor presumably doesn't say that. But presumably the mayor would say that even with a suffix before, there must be some way of being masterate. That, therefore, would prove, says Rav Nachman, that we must say that only that this whole din about somebody being choshed only applies to a Kohen, does not apply to a Yisrael. Even though it's a suffix before, and the Yisrael gets to keep it, but a Yisrael is not considered a choshed for this purpose.
In the case of the Kohen, so what, according to that mayor, who would the witness be?
It has to be Yisrael.
And in the case of Yisrael, it would be
That's the point. No, then in the case of Yisrael, if we were to say that Yisrael was also kosher, then we nobody could. So that's the point. Since presumably the mayor holds that there has to be possible to be Adim on a suffix before, that the mum happened on its own, then therefore that shows that Yisrael would hold that the rule only applies to Kohenim, only Kohenim are considered kosher, and therefore they can't testify about a before. Yisraelim are not considered kosher, even if they happen to own a suffix before. Okay, so let's finish up. So you might say, maybe according to the mayor of Safek Bechor, there is no takana, there's no way of making it mutter, because there's nobody to give aegis on it. Let's say the mayor would say that Yisrael is choshed also. Can't be. We learned earlier in the second parak, that we talked about a case over there where you have two animals that are Safek Bechor. You have two animals that are Safek Bechor. One goes to the Kohen, one doesn't. And we said over there, Shahoyer Rabbi Yossi, Kol Shechalifa V'yad Koyen Potem and Amatonis. Rabbi Yossi said that when you have another animal that was exchanged with the Koyen, when you have two animals over there that are Safek Bechor, and you're giving one of them to the Koyen, and conceivably we can assume that virtual transaction that we said, that one of them was given to the Koyen and then taken back from him and you gave him the other one in exchange, then Potem and Amatonis, then you're Potter from Zroy L'Chayayim V'Keva on the one that you keep. But the mayor machayev, and the mayor says you chayev, implying that according to the mayor, you're still able to shecht the suffix before. and you're going to give Zerah L'chayayim a Kevah mix, which implies that according to him, there must be a way of making it mutter. So obviously, yeah, otherwise he couldn't check it. So therefore, that goes to show, says Reb Meir, that says Reb Nachman, that the owner himself can be made on it when it's a suffix before, because the rule would be koyanim who the chashidi amumi, only koyanim are suspect about making mumin of her. Yisrael like chashidi amumi, the Yisraelim are not choshered on it. Even if it happens to be that a particular Yisrael has a suffix before, he's not choshered on making a mumin on it.
Even
a koyanim Reb Meir.
So therefore,
the mayor would allow another Yisrael to testify about this Mechor and say that the Mum happened on its own, and therefore that the first Yisrael can shef
the
Mechor.
And this would be an exception to his rule.
Not an exception, really, but his rule would apply only to Kohen. His rule still applies. His rule is still absolute. Choshed all double, like John Ibn Lamid. Because he would say that Yisrael is not considered Choshed.
Right.
That's the point. So it's not an exception to his rule. He's delineating who is considered Choshed. Okay, hold on. His rule applies to any din. Any time that a person is koshered about a certain mitzvah or a certain iser, then he can't give edus about it. But when it comes to making a mumin of bechor, the mayor's definition of the koshered for that is only koshered. Does not include Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. That's that. So we'll continue tomorrow with Lulav.